Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
I just want to just summarize for you what we have been discussing since 7 o'clock today. The conversation is this, that you go to school to understand how the world works. That's why you went to school. That's why if you see rainbow, you can make sense of what it is. Same way if you see the bridge, you can understand the principles behind it because somehow you read it in school. You can understand why the sun, why the rain. You see the rainfall, you're not amazed. It's not a mystery. You read it in school. You understood it in school. You are not shocked when you put your water on fire and it boils and it starts producing steam. You understood all of that when you went to school. The same way when you take your water and put it inside your deep freezer, it goes from the liquid state to the solid state back to the... You are not aghast because you understand the principles behind it. However, just like you understand the principles behind how life works, you should also understand how the Christianity works. Many times, you find out that we have Christians who know big, big things about Christianity, but know nothing to less to why Christ died, what his death stood for, what his burial stood for, what his resurrection and what his being seated in the right hand of the Father stands for. Many of us are clueless about how what happened, the burial, the death, the crucifixion of Jesus, how it affects how we live today. Many of us don't understand how that happens. So God wants you, the word, to take flesh in your life. The people who saw the Red Sea open, it happened in their front. They saw it. They understood it. They were not just reading another person's account. They saw it. All right? God wants his word to take flesh in your life. You go to Genesis chapter 1, it says, let there be light. You saw light. So breath became tangible. Intangible became tangible. Non-living thing became matter. So you read the Bible every day, and then it doesn't mean much to you because it's just prints on a paper. God wants what is in the Bible to be so practical in your everyday life that it affects the quality of your life. That's the reason Jesus died. And that's the conversation that we're having in Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 11, and we have been discussing that since 7 o'clock. That Jesus is the high priest of good things. That's who he is. When Jesus is negotiating with the Father, he's negotiating for your good. He's not negotiating against you. When he's speaking to the Father about you, he's telling the Father about the things that he has to do for you. And when he's doing that, and the devil stands to say, no, blessing cannot get this thing because of so-and-so. Blessing have been messing up, blessing goofed. And then Jesus will say, no, but that's the reason I died now. That's the reason why I'm standing to make intercession. Listen, when you give your life to Christ, you have issues. You have issues. But the more you read the Bible, the less these issues will begin to come down and down and down. However, in the moment where your mind is still being renewed, you have issues. Now, let me tell you what I mean that many of us don't understand how Christianity works. A lot of us have been trying to die to self, die to the old man, die to sin. You have been trying to stop sinning. It's a wrong theology. It doesn't work. When Jesus died, the old self died. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're trying to kill what has already died. It's a new person. And this new person, God does not do a shoddy work. He said we are Christ, God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. He did a perfect job. So when you see yourself coming up with goofy stuff, what you're seeing is the conditioning of the body and the unrenewed mind. And these things can be put down with the word of God. When Jesus died, first of all, he's the high priest of good things to come. So Jesus is always telling the Father about you. And the devil says, look at her. Why will I do this for? The devil stands to say, why will I do this on Nathaniel? Is this Nathaniel that is a thief, for instance? Jesus said, but that's why I am here to make intercession for him. He saves to the uttermost. He saves completely. Now, Jesus did a better job. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. He's the high priest of good things to come. Not only that, Jesus did a better job than Aaron. Under the Old Testament, we had Aaron, who entered with the blood of goats and fowl and all of that. And then he entered a tabernacle made with human hands. But Jesus did something different. He entered a tabernacle that is in heaven. And then he entered with his blood. Please, I want to do a little disclaimer. We don't answer phone inside this place. I'm going to ask you, please, if you want to answer the phone, please. We just respectfully ask you to just step aside and get it done and come back. Thank you. Jesus did a better job than Aaron. I'm going to be showing you some things. I won't have time to go into all of the details. Just a little bit of it. Then you can listen to the message at the first or second service. Aaron came in carrying the blood of goat and the blood of calf. He entered a tabernacle made with human hands. That's what Aaron did. Jesus came not into the tabernacle made with human hands. Jesus came in a tabernacle that is in heaven. And when he entered that tabernacle, he came with his own blood. So when the devil was debating whether to kill you or not, and the price to pay, Jesus presented his blood. I told him at the first service, and I explained it to them like this. Just imagine that Pastor Derek took his friends, five of his friends, to go buy something. And when it was time to pay, he puts his hand into his pocket with the confidence that he can pay. Many of us feel that with what you are doing, you can obtain your own salvation. Many of us feel that if I fast enough, God will answer my prayers. If I pray long enough, God will answer my prayers. If I do and do and do, God is not answering your prayers based on you. He's answering your prayers based on him. Because I know he loves me, my response is different. So Pastor Derek goes to a restaurant, a buka, and buys food. And then the price for the food is 25,000. With the confidence that he can save himself, he can pay, he puts his hand inside his pocket. And then he discovered that his hand comes out at the other part. The pocket had torn. The money had dropped away. And they say, Oga, pay me my money. Oga, pay me my money. Pastor is on to his friend. Pastor Charles, do you have money there? Pastor Charles puts his hand and brought out a receipt. Receipt that you say buying food. I didn't say you go pay for two of us. Five of them, nobody had 25,000 to pay. And the mama of Buka grabs Pastor Derek by his suit. You must pay me my money today. Pastor, he said, okay, let me make a phone call. He takes his phone. There's no network. He says, madam, bring your own phone. Let me call my family. He said, no, I can't give you my phone. How are we going to come here? You will have to wash plates and keep washing the plate until 25,000 is paid. His friends ran away and left him there. Pastor Derek pulls his fine suit and ties it on his waist, removes his shirt from inside the trousers, like they call it in Imo State, trousers. Remove them from his trousers. Folds his white shirt. You know he likes to wear white shirt. Folds the hand of his white shirt. Removes his tie. Put it inside his pocket. Remove his socks. Put it inside his pocket. The woman collected his shoe and his wristwatch. So until you pay money. Say, I don't want your wristwatch. I don't want your shoe. Until you pay money. Pastor Derek is there. Washing plate. As he's washing, he's removing sweat from his body. He's sweating under the sun. The woman will be dumping plate. Sometimes the plate will be as high as this. Pastor Felix will wash. Pastor Derek will wash it to the down. The woman will load it again. Pastor Charles is passing. Azar! Strategy. Is this strategy section? What are you doing? He said, my brother, I tire. No ordinary food I came here to eat. Finish eating food. Put my hand inside my pocket. My hand came out. I don't see the money. He said, how much are you owing? Somewhere, I don't even know. I have washed for about 7 days. 7 days? You have been washing me for some. Why didn't you call? I said, no network. Even my phone said, I didn't carry the charger. The battery has discharged. He said, where is the woman you're owing? And Pastor just marches over to the woman. I said, my brother, how much is he owing? He said, this is your brother. He's owing 25,000. He said, but he has been washing plate. He said he has washed, but he's only 2,000 naira he has washed since. Hey! Yeah, that's how the devil tries to treat us. When you mess up, the devil tries to give you all the blow to make you pay. And Pastor Charles pulls his hands inside his pocket and brings out, this is, I'm describing Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 now, and brings out 250 million and says, how much did you say he's paying? They say 25,000. He brings 250 million. On the account of 250 million, not only is he released, he has overpaid. So Pastor Derry comes, I bring that scripture, Pastor Derry comes out free. Bring the next one. Bring the next one. Keep going. Keep going. I don't want to. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. I don't want you to get there first. Now, Jesus paid with his own blood. He didn't pay with the blood of goats. He didn't play with the blood of cow. He didn't play with the blood of... He paid with his blood. So everything the devil is demanding that you pay, Jesus paid for that. But as a matter of let's do some comparison. Let's do some comparison before we close. Small comparison before we close. In the Old Testament, Aaron paid with the blood of goats and cow. In the Old Testament, I want to show you how Solomon operated based on the blood of goats and the blood of cow. This is Solomon. During the lifetime of Solomon, all of Judah and Israel lived in peace and safety under the Old Testament. This is Nigeria. Is there peace and safety? This is New Testament. And from Dan in the north, so from Zamfara to Beersheba in the south, where is south? Where we didn't know. Each family has its own home and garden. While we are complaining that Fulani herdsmen has chased away our farmers, under the Old Testament, they had safety, they had security. Solomon had 4,000 horses. So if you call it transportation, he had 4,000 cars, 12,000 horse riders, trailers, 4,000. Under the blood of goat, and under the blood of Bekeke, he had these things. 12,000 horse riders, 12,000 drivers. Go on. The district governors faithfully provided food for King Solomon and his courts. Each made sure nothing was lacking during the month assigned to him. Why our country is saying, oh, we don't have money for allocation. For 3 months, there will not be money for allocation. Under the Old Testament, every governor was faithfully contributing to Solomon's food without fail. Not only that national cake, not only did human beings have food, even animals, they also bought the necessary barley and straw. The royal horses in the stable, they had food. We were talking about there's no food, there is so much austerity measure, so much. Look at what was happening. Under the blood of goats, this is Bible, and the blood of cow, God gave Solomon, under the Old Testament, very great wisdom and understanding and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore under the Old Testament. Under the blood of goats and under the blood of calves. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the East and the wise men of Egypt under the Old Testament. He was wiser than everyone. His fame spread throughout all the surrounding nations. Old Testament. He composed 3,000 poems and wrote 1,005 songs. Hold on. Look at the proverb you are giving us. This proverb. Your great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-grandfather used it. He finished using, he gave his own father. His father, in fact, 10 generations have passed before he reached you. It was even from your uncles that he got to you. So he say, what old woman is sitting down at the root of the tree to see? If the baby I dedicated today stands on top of the Kilimanjaro mountain, he won't see it. That proverb has been outdated, obsolete. You know why? Children of these days are now standing on top of satellites to see things. So why I'm trying to decode something? Yeshua, I heard the remote control. I was looking at TV. I was pressing. I was pressing. What are you looking for? as I'm trying to move from DSTV to Netflix, he say, it's easy if you chokum chum chum. I say, it's easy because you know it. He said, but you didn't know it now. That's the old woman that is sitting on the chair. Now the children are sitting on top of satellites. Digital. Under the Old Testament, he could speak with authority about all kinds of plants, from the great cedar of Lebanon to the tiny hyssop that grows from the cracks in the wall. He could also speak about animals, birds, small creatures, and fish. Old Testament. Blood of goats and blood of calves. Conclusion of the matter, 34. I'm about to close. 34. And kings from every nation send their ambassadors to listen to a man that is under the covenant, that is covered by a covenant of goat and calf. It might interest you that what Aaron was using was not strong enough. It was obsolete. The app was a trial version. It was a shadow. So it couldn't quite cover the people. The Bible says he couldn't rid their conscience of sin. Before God will forgive the people, Aaron will first of all go and ask for himself. If God forgives him, he will not ask God to forgive the people. He will enter every year, every year, every year. Jesus came and entered one spot, and that was it. The people, we were set free. Solomon was using trial version for this kind of exploits. What about us that is using full version? Solomon was using shadow. See, if I stand under the light, you'll see my shadow. Solomon was using this. We are using the substance. Who should be better? Let me show you another of your brother. His name is Joshua. Jesus, you are so good. Joshua chapter 10, favor. What no man can do. You know, we know how to dance it. I'm going to put it into practice. Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Favor. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites. I want you to, don't read this with religious eye. Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. This guy is bold. Prayer, Pastor Charles, how should he have started this prayer? They say he prayed to God. How should he have started it? Pastor, if you are a pastor, man of God, if he's you, how would you start this prayer? In Jesus' name, Father God, I thank you. Father, I ask you to hold the sun. Look at how this man prayed. Let the sun stand still. Sun, stand still over Gibeon. Moon, stand still over the valley of Hajilon. Let's see what his son responded. So the sun stood still. The moon stayed in its place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Look at the last sentence. The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and did not set as on a normal day. In other words, God said in Genesis chapter 1, let there be sun, let there be moon. If you go to Psalm 104, you will discover that God gave the moon and the stars their function. He said, moon, you are for seasons. It is moon, we just knowing which seasons are here. Sun, we know when sun should come down. You know, the Bible said, my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night has not been broken. Do you know that it has been broken here? Solomon, Joshua broke it, Pastor Charles, with the blood of goats. The next verse. There has never been a day like this one, before or since, when the Lord answers such prayer. You're going to break this, James, in your generation. The Bible said God has never answered this prayer from that day till today. My worry is that this guy was under, what covered him was the blood of goat and the blood of fowl. What confidence? What gave him such authority? We have a better covenant that is on the blood of Jesus. And that covenant, Jesus came in and paid in full and paid with his blood. Now it is time for us to take what Jesus did for us and run with it. I told him another story at the second service, and I want to tell that story with that. I'm going to close. Chinedu has a father, a very rich father. And Chinedu's father was dying and left a will And the will had about billions in pounds for Chinedu's account. 2 years after, Chinedu's father was coming out and saw Chinedu on the floor begging for money for food. Huh? The father's friend looked at him. Chinedu! Chinedu! What is this? He said, "Hey, Uncle Gabriel. Uncle Gabriel, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm hungry." While the father's son was talking to him, he's still trying to beg for 5 naira and 10 naira from the passerby. The father's friend stopped him, jerked him, and said, "Hi." Tears dropped from the man's eyes. He said, "You have money in your account." Chinedu said, "I didn't know, I didn't know." But while he's saying, "I didn't know," he's still stretching hands to beg for money, to ask for more. The father's friend tried to shock him into consciousness, for him to apprehend, for his perception to change and understand that there is money somewhere for him. It took him time to get Chinedu to understand that your father left money for you and told Chinedu what to do. Few weeks after, the father's friend was coming back and still sees Chinedu on the floor begging for money. He turns to Chinedu, "Are you crazy? Do you have a mental problem? You have billions and trillions in your account, in several accounts. Why are you sitting on the floor begging?" Chinedu said, "Okay, let me go and try." So Chinedu gets to the bank and moves up and down and moves up and down and moves up and down and comes back and comes and sits down begging. The father's friend said, "What is wrong with this boy?" He said, "I went to the bank. They didn't give me the money." The father's friend said, Your money they didn't give you?" He said, "What did you do?" He said, "You told me to go to the bank. I went to the bank now and moved up and down and moved up and down. They didn't give me." The father's friend said, "See, you have to give them the authority to give you the money. They are not holding it against you. They are holding it for you in trust." Chinedu takes his bank account, takes his check, withdraws that he's withdrawing 100 million. But he goes to the bank and holds the check and he's singing, "Amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, amen." And then he moves about. And then he comes back. He still doesn't have money. He's come back. He's holding a check of 100 million in his hand, signed to his account, and he's begging on the floor. The father's friend comes and said, "I will give you a debt slip." He said, "I took the check to the bank. They still didn't give me the money." The father said, "What did you do?" He said, "I held it and I went around the bank." The father's friend said, "Even if you like, use it to sew uniform. If you like, stand in the bank forever until you present the check and get a withdrawal. You will keep sitting down on the floor begging." Chinedu takes the check, presents to the cashier, and he was paid his due cash, and he was paid in full. My submission. I want to make a submission. There are many believers who are asking God to do what he has done. You are asking God for healing. Isaiah chapter 53 tells us that you have been healed. He healed you. You are asking God for favor. He favored you. What do you need to do? You need to know how to draw it out of your account. Hey, I want to close this service as far as I started it. You need to know how to draw it out of your account. Do you know, if you start asking God, "Lord, heal me, Jesus is not going to quickly run to the cross and quickly die to heal you. He has already deposited healing in your account. All you need to now do is to know how to apprehend it. Know how to use it to change your perception of sickness. Then you can go and get it. If you're leading someone to Christ today, Jesus will not quickly run to the cross and quickly die and shout, "It is finished." No, he's not going to do that. What you're helping the person to do is to make a withdrawal out of his heavenly account. That's why Jesus is seated in the heavenly places. Watch, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," in past tense, "with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places." So when the enemy, listen, when the enemy tries to mess up with your mind, you need to tell him the truth. The problem with the church is that we lack knowledge. I want to show you something. Hebrews chapter 9. I read it. Verse 15. that none of the devil's will has capacity to come to pass. Are there lawyers in this church now? Any lawyer here? Any lawyer? Solicitor, Larry. I want to show you from the Bible that when the enemy will tell you, oh, sirs, in your family, that you're going to give me two scriptures, two scriptures. In your family, people in that family, they die young. Excuse me. What did you say? That's the will of the devil, eh? Give me Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. The exact scripture you gave me. The devil tells you, say there is a generational curse that is destroying everyone in this family. What did you say? I'm not saying that there's no generational curse. I'm not saying that. But there is a superior truth. Favor, give me Hebrews chapter 9. No, the one you gave me on the death. Is that Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 or verse 18? I gave it to you. The last scripture I used to close the last service, it wasn't my slide. The death of the attestator. Is it 9:12? No, 9:12 or 9:18. The death of that, 9:15. Hebrews 9:15. Anything the devil has willed for you, give me exactly that. Give me the last one because of the next verse, because of time. The next verse. No, bring it in new. Give me the translation you gave me in the last service. Now, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. Next verse. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. What is the will of the devil? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his will. What is the will of God? Life, have it in abundance. This is a lawyer, Ungwa. Law. If someone is alive, law. This is Bible now. I know a sister is a lawyer. Be collaborating where she is. If she makes mistake in the quoting, you say no. My learned colleague, you know, say only you people are learned. Liar. In my live group, everybody is a lawyer, but we don't argue. Ngwanono, lawyer. Tell us now, from law you went to read in the university, this thing here, is it true?
It's very true.
Explain to church that we are looking at you. People are looking at you at home.
It's actually very true. I'm very sure that the Wills Act got it from here.
Yes.
That before a testator dies.
What in be testator?
Okay, before the person that make the will dies, that will cannot come into effect. It's as good as a piece of paper. But at the person's death, at the testator's death, the will becomes very powerful and it can be executed and every word will be followed to the letter.
Can I now make a submission between Jesus and the devil who died?
Jesus.
What is the will of the devil?
To steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Beautiful. So if we are defending a case and you are defending devil, and liar is defending me, and Jesus says, because I died, my will can come into effect. And devil say, I didn't die, but my will should come into effect. Which are guilty or not guilty, or which one is right?
Jesus is right because why? He died, and that's why his will come into effect.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the note of this, may I throw out of court every sickness, every disease, every prophecy that says you will die out by before your time, every poverty, may I throw it out of court. You are discharged and acquitted. Rise on your feet and begin to give him thanks and praise. Thank him. And so, Heavenly Father, on the strength of this, we declare that anywhere the devil has anything against you is destroyed. Go and enjoy the liberty that Jesus has given to you. In Jesus' precious, mighty, excellent, extra, I love Jesus. We pray. Amen. take your offering and come and put on the altar. On the strength of this sermon. You're not a sermon collector. You're a sermon collector. So how do you make it to pass? How do you bring it to pass? Number one, study it. Number two, start confessing it. Study it. Start confessing it. That's how you make it real. That's what I gave you at first and second. Number one, study it. Number two, confess it. Is there number three? Made it, yes. Act it. Number one, study it. Meditate on it. Then number two, start confessing. Meditation and study. That's then the last one, act on it. Many of us here, the prophecy when native doctor give you 5 years ago, you still hold on, tie him for it. He said, they said. Many of us here believe the word of man more than they believe the word of God. You have heard it now. That so if anybody tells you that the devil wants to kill you, it's not news, oh, it's not news. The Bible always says he wants to kill. Say wants to destroy, it's not news, it's not a prophecy. So it wants to finish you. But he can't do it. Because according to my counsel, public prosecutor. Now what will be? What will be not public prosecutor? State counsels. According to state counsel, the testator, is it what you call them? The testator do not have the subsection of the section of the. I put it to you now. Everybody, let's give our offering. Bring your offering and drop on the altar. Thank you so much. Enjoy yourselves. Drop it on the altar.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.